thinking better and thinking together about life's most important issues. A place to finally meet in the middle, to think freely and reasonably about the big questions of life. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to another episode of Thinker Sensitive. My name is Ryan Ragazine, and I am your host. Recently, we've been discussing some pretty heavy theological and philosophical themes. Today, I want to get to something a little bit more practical and a little more mundane. I want to talk about different views of the United States, specifically two contemporary opposing views on America. A highly patriotic view and a highly unpatriotic view. Let's jump right in. There has always been heated debate and passionate banter in the United States over which city is home to the tastiest pizza and over which style of pizza is the best. Usually, the conversation is restricted to two main regions: Chicago and New York. Is Chicago-style pizza the best? Or is New York-style pizza the best? Do you prefer pizza made in a deep, circular pan? Pizza that is more dense and heavy? Or do you prefer your pizza slices thin, but huge, and cooked right on top of a brick oven? Maybe we could phrase the question this way. Do you like to eat your pizza with a fork? Or do you like to fold your pizza in half and eat it with your hands? Chicago-style and New York-style pizza represent two extremes and opposing poles on the pizza spectrum. As people ardently and fanatically debate this all-important question, truly one of the great questions of human existence, and one of the most important questions that one can ask, people often forget that there is a viable third option, a middle way, a via media. Those of us who hail from the proud city of Detroit, the city where the weak are killed and eaten. Side note, when I was a teenager, I used to have a shirt that actually said that. But those of us who grew up around Detroit know this mediating third option rather well. Detroit-style pizza falls somewhere in between Chicago-style and New York-style pizza on the pizza spectrum. It is thicker than New York-style, but thinner than Chicago-style. Unlike both, the slices in a Detroit-style pizza are squares, not triangles, usually cooked in a rectangle-shaped pan. In Detroit, you can find this style of pizza at places like Buddy's, Pizza Popolis, Cloverleaf, and Jets, all local Detroit institutions. Detroit-style pizza has started to gain popularity in recent years, garnering national attention. In fact, a Detroit-style pizza place just opened up in downtown Colorado Springs, of all places. Many people are coming to realize that there is a legitimate third option in this popular debate. And some people are finding that the middle way may actually be the best way. Like with the topic of pizza, today, when it comes to views of the United States, particularly from within the United States, there tends to be great polarization. There are what I would describe as extremes on both sides. These two opposing sides can usually be delineated by age and political affiliation. the older and more conservative crowd often possess an idealized view of America. The United States is the perfect country. The U.S. can do no wrong. America is the best country of all countries, the greatest country ever. It's God's country. The younger, more liberal crowd often possess a cynical and jaded view of America. The United States is the worst country ever. It can't get any worse than this. America is evil. It's toxic. It's greedy. America is racist. Our history is littered with corruption. On one hand, we saw this idealized perspective of America during the Trump campaign, which was centered on the contentious slogan, "Make America Great Again," written out in a now famous acronym on red baseball caps. The catchy Trumpian phrase naturally invokes the good old days, an idealized recounting of America's past, as checkered as it may actually be. We also saw this perspective play itself out during the public uproar that ensued over players like Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem at football games, or in calls to boycott the recent iterations of the Olympics due to the unpatriotic attitudes of various American athletes. On the other hand, we saw this jaded perspective during the civil unrest of 2020. During that season, it wasn't uncommon to hear young people make what I would characterize as overly exaggerative and hyperbolic statements like, "Things can't get any worse than this," or "America is a third world country," all while taking to the streets in cities like Portland and almost turning our country into a third world country through senseless acts of violence and destruction. We also saw this perspective in action when some U.S. citizens called to boycott the 4th of July that year, or when Chelsea Wolfe, a BMX rider who qualified as an alternate to represent the U.S. at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo, stated in a since-deleted Facebook post that her goal was to, quote, "win the Olympics so I can burn a U.S. flag on the podium," end quote. I personally believe that both of these perspectives, both the idealized perspective and the jaded perspective, are mistaken and off base. I think that both the right wing and left wing views of America are unrealistic, in the sense that neither adequately correspond to the reality of the situation. As a mediating thinker, my goal on this episode, unsurprisingly, is to find the middle ground here, the place where I believe the truth is ultimately to be found. Instead of getting into all the relevant historical and global data, which would turn this one-off weekly episode into a multi-episode season, I'm going to keep this evaluation brief and broad today. Contrary to what many on the conservative side may think, America is not a perfect country. The story of our country begins with mass genocide, not a great introduction or first impression. We were founded on the blood of Native Americans, blatantly and unremorsefully stealing their land from them. We've participated in several questionable wars, if not outright unjust wars. Now, I'm a personal pacifist, so my definition of a just war is pretty narrow. But even so, I think this statement holds. Vietnam, the Korean War, and the Philippine-American War are all examples. Of course, that list doesn't even include the war in Iraq, which was highly controversial. As someone with a very narrow view of what a truly just war entails, I could add several others as well. America has a long history of racism. America has a history of corrupt leaders and politicians. We've also done our fair share of shady things in our history as a country, like backing immoral leaders and extremist regimes for self-gain, and supporting violent uprisings in order to promote a particular political agenda. Not to mention the excessive and unethical air raids that we've been a part of. The constant over-the-top bombing of the small country of Laos during the Vietnam War is probably the best example. A CNN article written in June of this year states that, quote, from 1964 to 1973, the U.S. dropped more than 2 million tons of bombs on Laos, about as many as there were people in the tiny Southeast Asian nation. More bombs were dropped on Laos during the Vietnam War than on Germany and Japan combined during World War II, end quote. This is all the more reprehensible when we consider the fact that this was a war that probably never should have happened in the first place. But contrary to what many on the liberal side think, America is far from an awful country. First, America is not in any way special or unique in its checkered history. Most modern nation-states and modern countries were established through war, conquests, and violence. All the great empires in world history, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, gained power through massive war campaigns and conquests. Many of the great modern nations participated in some form of colonialization, and most countries have taken part in unjust wars. Every continent, and I'm going to assume every country, also has a history of racism. America was not the only country that participated in the slave trade, for example. America is far from the only country that has had racist policies and laws. Europe, Asia, Africa, Latin America, and Australia have all had long and colorful histories of racism. Racism is not an American problem. It's a global problem. Racism is not an American thing. It's a human thing. All countries also have a history of corrupt leaders and politicians, and have participated in their fair share of shady dealings. The point is that the U.S. is not at all unique or special in its corruption throughout its existence as a nation. But America isn't just equal to most other countries. It's probably better than most other countries. Even though we don't have a spotless foreign policy track record, America has gone out of its way to help others throughout its history, giving foreign aid, participating in humanitarian efforts, breaking up fights, and helping to prevent injustice and suffering worldwide, sometimes even to a fault. It's probably safe to say that America is one of the most generous nations in the history of the world, if not the most generous, often topping the charts of different studies, indexes, and surveys that measure various expressions of giving and generosity. On an economic level, especially when considering the standard for global poverty, on an educational level. For instance, consider how many people travel to America to attend colleges and graduate schools. From the perspective of technological and medical advancements, from the perspective of individual freedoms and rights, and in terms of overall structure and order and safety, America is still one of the best countries in the world, and arguably one of the greatest countries in human history. The reality is that so much of this jaded perspective comes from a lack of perspective, the absence of a historical and global outlook. In world history, throughout the globe and throughout time, how many nations have had it better? How many countries have been demonstrably greater than the United States? If we're being objective here, I don't think there have been many. In 2020, amidst all the civil unrest, and while many people my age were lamenting the state of our society and complaining about how bad our country is, my wife and I took a trip to El Paso, Texas, to visit my cousin and her husband. My cousin's husband, who is sometimes referred to as my twin, is Hispanic, which is relevant to this story and why I mention it. If you know anything about El Paso, you know that it is a border town, with Juarez, a dangerous cartel city, on the other side. My twin grew up in El Paso, but some of his family are from Juarez, and some of them, I believe, still live there to this day. During our trip, my twin took me to a road that overlooked both cities, El Paso on one side and Juarez on the other. To say that the contrast was stark is an understatement. The Mexican side was run down and impoverished, while the American side was prosperous and flourishing, at least in comparison. Talking to my twin, it's clear that most people within his Hispanic community and within his Hispanic family still see the United States as a land of opportunity and a land of promise. After all, there's a reason why so many natives of Mexico are desperate to cross the border and find refuge in the U.S. I guess you could also point out that there's a reason why American citizens usually don't leave this country, and why so many people across the globe seek to find refuge here. This means something. This says something. But I think the main reason why my twin's community sees America in a good light, as opposed to a bad light, is because they have perspective. Global and historical perspective. They understand that it can be worse, much worse. They know by experience that it is worse, much worse in other places in the world. This is why I truly think that statements like America is a third world country, or the United States is a horrible nation, or America can't get any worse than this, often coming from young, middle-class white folks with millions of opportunities and options at their disposal, are an insult to those all across the globe and throughout history who have had it so much worse than most of us can ever imagine. Are these statements, these hyperbolic valuations, not a slight to the truly marginalized and underprivileged? Even when we talk about poverty in the US, we're talking about a relative poverty, not necessarily global poverty, a poverty that actually meets the global standard, like what you see in actual third world countries. This is not to diminish the seriousness of relative poverty or poverty in the US. It is certainly not to discourage the attempt to fix the problem. But it is to say that overall, we have it pretty damn good here. I'm not a very patriotic person. I'm definitely not a nationalist. You won't see me placing my hand on my heart during the national anthem. And you certainly won't ever hear me pledging allegiance to the flag or to this nation. You probably won't ever even hear me singing along to God Bless America at a baseball game. A lot of this has to do with my religious views, specifically my Christian beliefs, which is somewhat ironic considering that many American Christians end up going the opposite direction. With that said, I feel very blessed to live in this country. I'm grateful that I was born here, that I grew up here. I really can't complain about anything. I don't know for sure that I will always live here. I don't know that I will die here necessarily. I do still have dreams of spending my final days in the rolling hills and vineyards of Tuscany, or the farmlands of Sicily. And in some ways, I've always identified more with being Italian than being American. But I will always be thankful for my American citizenship. I will always see it as a great blessing. How this particular sense of gratitude has become so unfashionable and so unpopular amongst so many of my peers, I don't know. But one of the bad things I failed to mention about America and about Americans is how spoiled and ungrateful we are. This episode and all episodes of Thinkersensitive are available on thinkersensitive.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app today to listen to more thought-provoking content from Thinkersensitive.